This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Are there really people sitting in the Bexar County Jail right now because they can't afford bail? Well, the Bexar County District Attorney, Nicola Hood, said recently that there are none, but last week a press conference was held on the steps of the jail with pretrial detainees who were detained no longer. Here's how TPR's Joey Palacios reported the story.
Surrounded by supporters, Jeremy Fierce and seven others were released from the Bexar County Jail.
We'd be sitting here for a whole nother month if it wasn't for top organization coming and posting my bond today.
He was jailed for 96 days for marijuana possession. He couldn't pay a reduced bond of $80 while awaiting a future court date. Laquita Garcia with TOP says low-income offenders are often held longer because they can't pay.
Our ultimate goal is to do away with money bail altogether and money for bail for profit systems.
Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar attended the release. He agrees with the group that it's time for reform. Last month, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals found cash bail systems in Harris County unconstitutional. Joy Palacios, Texas Public Radio News.
So today in The Source, what we're going to look at is the Bexar County cash bail system. What actually happens? How does this work? What would a reform look like? And why do we have the system we have now? And what does this mean for public safety? And we ask you, listeners, to call in. Have you ever needed to be bailed out of jail? What happened if you couldn't make that bail? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Are you concerned about reform to the system? Or do you think that the system we have now is unfair and that we need to have some changes? 210-614-8980. Email us at The Source at tpr.org, and you can tweet at us at TPR Source. We're joined this hour by Donna K. McKinney. She is the presiding officer of the Bexar County Jail Bond Board, but more importantly, she is the Bexar County District Clerk. Also with us is Ken Good, attorney and member of the Professional Bondsmen of Texas Board of Directors, and Mary Moreno. She's the communications director for the Texas Organizing Project. It's great to have you here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Moreno, I'm going to ask you over at the Texas Organizing Project, TOP, what are y'all looking for?
Exactly what Laquita said. We are looking for an end to a cash bail system that keeps poor people in jail because they can't afford to pay bail. We have two systems of justice, one for people who have money. If you have money and you're arrested, you can get out almost immediately. But if you're poor, like Jeremy Fierce or Raul Morales, who we bailed out last week, you don't even have $800 or $80 to pay your bond. You're going to stay in jail. Raul was in jail for 2 years awaiting trial.
All right. Now, Ken Good, you're with the Professional Bondsmen of Texas Board of Directors. You're the bail bondsman. You have this billboards up, you have the shops around the county jail. You're providing a service in helping people get out of jail with the bonds. What do you think about this?
Well, we've been hearing for 2 years that the current system was unconstitutional, and I think even the promo said that the Fifth Circuit ruled that bail was unconstitutional. That's not true. You've got a constitutionality on its face versus as applied. The court held that bail was constitutional, but they held that under due process, if they're claiming poverty, they have a right to a hearing. Harris County would have agreed to that 2 years ago. I mean, the other side was saying you had to get rid of private bail as a condition of settlement. And so, you know, that is not the result that is being advertised to the press. The Fifth Circuit ruled that bail is constitutional, and if you claim that you cannot afford it, then you get a right to a hearing. And that's only one of four or five elements the trial court has to consider since we're talking about a public safety issue. I mean, we consider ourselves the grease that keeps the criminal justice system moving, because every year thousands of cases are added to the system. If all we're going to do is keep rescheduling hearings because people don't show up, which is what's happened in Harris County, then the whole system breaks down, and that creates a public safety risk.
Okay, so you mentioned the Harris County and the Fifth Circuit decision there. So let's get into that. Donna K. McKinney, with the Bexar County District Clerk. What happened in Harris County is Harris County. It doesn't really directly impact Bexar County. It may eventually if there's a lawsuit, but what happened in Harris County?
As I read the opinion, the Federal District Court ruled that if somebody said they were poor, they automatically had to get out, or they couldn't afford the bond. And the appellate court, I think Mr. Good was right, didn't throw that out. And I mean, they threw that out and said, no, it's only one thing to be considered. And Harris County has different questions that they ask of their pretrial services people to determine whether somebody can afford or is eligible to get out on their own recognizance. We call it a personal recognizance bond or a PR bond. And one of the questions was, do you own a car? And the complaint in by the plaintiffs was that the point that you get for not owning a car is the same point that you would get for having a crime, a conviction prior.
Right. I think we're getting way into the weeds too early in this conversation. Now, so to try and create a strong action line here of what it is that we're talking about. So let's talk about a fictional individual. Supposedly he gets hit with a low-level misdemeanor, maybe a trespass or something like that, and he ends up having gets arrested, and he goes, what happens? First stop is the magistrate's court, right?
Yes, and the pretrial services get to see him and ask him questions to determine what their recommendation is to the magistrate, the first hearing officer.
So we have individuals, their job is to talk to you as you come in, as you're being brought in. Before you even get to booking, you go to magistrate's court. And they're going to find out whether or not to what your charges are going to be and whether or not you're going to get a bail, right?
Exactly. And that's how we differ from Harris County is we immediately have this hearing officer, and they've looked at the recommendations on the PR, but they ask additional questions that more conforms with the opinion from the appellate court in the federal issue. So they're asked, can they afford an attorney, and can you afford a bond, and here's how much it is.
And so if you have a clean record, if you have a job, if you have own a house, or if you have a stable life, then you're more likely to qualify for a personal recognizance bond, a PR bond, and that you won't have to get a cash bond, right?
That's correct.
So it seems like it's highly likely that this individual will show up for their court date.
According to the statistics, yes.
According to what, and so, but then they say other people, according to Mary Moreno, Mary, jump in here, that there are people who show up there and they give them a bond anyway because there's a schedule, right? They have to go to the schedule.
Exactly. And there's not enough emphasis given on risk. We think there should be more emphasis placed on risk assessment. And that does, and but it also should take the ability to pay. Like this man who spent almost 2 years in jail, his bond was $1,600, but he just couldn't pay it. So we kept him in jail pre-trial for almost 2 years before we bonded him out. So there's a lot of, so this notion that people aren't languishing in jail because they're poor is false. And we don't, this is not a wild experiment we're asking the county to undertake. Washington, D.C. has eliminated cash bail effectively almost more than 10 years ago. And they've had a lot of success. So all this money that we're investing in keeping people in jail, we could invest it in pretrial services, whether right. that's ankle monitors. And if somebody's really a danger, they should be in jail. They should be kept in jail.
Right, and we're going to talk about that extensively. Public safety is a big part of this conversation. We're talking about the bail system that we have here in Bexar County, what kind of reforms are being projected, what's being proposed. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. The source continues. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When someone gets arrested in Bexar County, it's a low-level misdemeanor charge, and they go to the county jail, and then they get offered to say, you have a chance to make bail, but if this person doesn't have that opportunity, doesn't have the money to pay for bail, then they're going to sit in the county jail day after day, and they're going to be paid for, that's going to be paid for by Bexar County taxpayers. Got to pay for the meals, we got to pay for security, got to pay for upkeep of the jail. That adds up. It's a lot of money. Also, they're saying it's unfair that because this one individual is poor, doesn't have a lot of money, maybe they're homeless, all sorts of issues, they have to stay in the county jail, whereas someone who does have money could just pay the bail and go on about their lives. This is costly for that individual. Some say this actually promotes unsafe communities because we're taking away some people's jobs and their livelihoods and their place that they live because they're stuck in jail and they can't maintain their life. So what do you think about this? What about the system of the cash bail system? Some are proposing reforms to that. It's happening all across the country. What about here in Bexar County? The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Do you think we ought to propose or take a hard look at reforming the system? This is something that's going to be coming up in the race for the Bexar County District Attorney. We know that Joe Gonzalez is talking about beefing up the reform prospects for the bond system, for the bail system, and that the Republican candidate, Tilden Schaefer, says that he is not that comfortable with trying to loosen this up. Give us a call, 210-614-8980, what you would like to see happen here. So let's go over to Ken Good. He is the attorney and member of the Professional Bondsmen of Texas Board of Directors. And I don't want to get into Harris County, okay? Harris County is Harris County. I just want to try and explore what's going on in Bexar County, Ken. So let's talk about what your concerns are.
Well, I think what we're seeing from the Fifth Circuit is a fight over individual.
Okay, we're not talking about the Fifth Circuit. Ken, we're not talking about the Fifth Circuit, okay? That's Harris County.
Talking about
Bexar County.
Bexar County has bail schedules. And so we can look to see how do we set bail using a bail schedule. And and what we know now is that if you use a bail schedule and you're claiming that you cannot afford it, then that gives you an opportunity for a hearing to ask a court to deviate from that schedule. And if you have individual magistration, then you don't have a problem. We keep saying that it's only the issue of whether they can afford to pay. I think it's been established that that's one of four or five elements, and we're kind of losing sight on the victim, of the person whose property was trespassed. What about them? If they keep missing court, and I'm showing up for court every time to testify against them, and they keep missing and keeps getting rescheduled, if I ultimately miss, then their case is going to be dismissed because the key witness didn't show up. So, justice delayed is always usually justice lost. And so we've got to find a happy medium between.
Exactly. We're looking for a happy medium.
Victims and what's right for the people who are getting arrested. But just saying I can't come is only one factor.
Okay, exactly. We're looking for a happy medium, some way to look at the fact that these are people who have not been convicted of anything yet. They're in pretrial detainment as suspects. And so their issue, and that is not supposed to be punitive. So if you have individuals who cannot make bail because they are low income, then doesn't that become punitive, Ken?
No, it does not, because under 1715 of the Texas Code of Criminal Procedure, that is only one of four or five elements. The purpose of bail is to make sure you're going to come to court. I mean, if you can't assure the court that you're going to come to answer the charges, then the court has, or the criminal justice system has, the right to hold you. And so,
that is exactly the issue, Ken. So let me go ahead and get a caller in on the conversation. And this is Lothar. And Lothar, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks. I listened earlier where they gave an example of a person being detained for 2 years awaiting trial. And it's my understanding that it's a constitutional right to a speedy trial. What recourse does a person have if they're being detained for an inordinate length of time?
Thank you for the call, Lothar. And let me go over to Donna Kay McKinney to respond to that. She's the Bexar County District Clerk.
Not being an attorney, I can't give you a definitive answer to that, but Mr. Good might know better. The law in Texas is you do have a right to a speedy trial. There is a number of days set. I think 2 years is too long. I don't know about the person allegedly in the Bexar County jail for 2 years, but that doesn't seem right.
And
Ken
Texas
Good. Law already addresses this and says that if you're in jail with a delay and nothing's happened for a period of time, you're entitled to be released. And it's a lot less than 2 years. It's like 30 days for a felony.
Yes.
And so, but there's simple reform that we can do. If we just require a 72-hour remagistration, which is something they do in El Paso, after bond has been set, just to reassess the situation, and maybe again at 30 days if they're still in jail, then these types of things will have checks and balances. But 2 years already violates the current system.
So are you saying that there are no individuals in the Bexar County Jail right now waiting trial who have been there for 2 years or longer?
I don't have any personal knowledge of the people who are in the Bexar County Jail, but I don't believe that they are in the Bexar County Jail for misdemeanor offenses solely because of their inability to pay a bond. Their bond was set for five different considerations that were taken into consideration when the bond was set. The Eighth Amendment says the fact that you can't pay it doesn't violate the Constitution. The question is, have they been considered? And so if they consider all of them and determine that's what your bail needed to be to ensure you would show up for court, then you've been magistrated properly under the law in Texas and under the federal Constitution, according to the Fifth Circuit.
So you just said that you don't think there is anyone in the Bexar County Jail right now who is there under a misdemeanor charge who is in there because they can't make bail. Is that right?
No, I said, I don't have any personal knowledge, but second of all, I said I don't believe that that's under the 1715 that requires five elements to be considered. I don't believe anybody's in there solely because of their inability to pay bail, or that was the reason why their bond was set.
So, Mary Moreno, your experience is that there are people who are in the Bexar County Jail who are there solely because they don't have enough money to pay for bail.
Exactly. This man who had been in, he was arrested in 2016 in March, so he was like just a few days away from being there for two full years. But once we paid his $1,600 bond, he was out, right? Because he didn't have that money. He's homeless. He probably has mental health problems. He couldn't pay, so he stayed. And jail is a really dangerous place. So if you do have mental health problems, that's not where you should be. You should be getting treatment. If you have a drug addiction problems, you should be getting treatment. And in Washington, D.C., they've tried this, right? And you don't need money to get people to show up to court. They've proved it. They have a 90% response rate from people who are let go without any money. They show up for court. So this notion that you need money to get people to show up for court is just not true.
So this individual who was in jail for almost 2 years and that you paid their bond, do you know what that charge was?
Yes, it was prostitution.
Okay, and so and
you
how
know, I we talked. I talked to this man when he was released, and he had serious mental health problems. It's hard to believe that he solicited a prostitute 2 years ago. Like he didn't when he was asked how long were you in jail. He didn't even have a concept of time. He was really, you could tell his mental capacity was very limited, and so it's sometimes police, when they arrive to deal with a man who has mental health problems and they don't know what to do with them, jail seems like an attractive alternative. At least they get them off the streets, but that's not the proper response. I mean, there's so many issues involved in getting people in, why people end up in jail.
Right. So Donna K. McKinney, the Bexar County District Clerk, that brings up this issue of how our county jail has become a place for people who need mental health treatment.
We have been addressing that and developing our programs. We ask questions, or Pretrial Services does in Bexar County, ask questions about mental health as well as their ability to pay and their likelihood to show up. So you can never get everyone, but I think Bexar County is probably a shining example of being on top of this. We've even had John Cornyn, U.S. Senator, come down and talk about our program. So I can't address Ms. Moreno's, the guy who was in jail, but it seems like it might have slipped through if he was actually really there for 2 years and it was a misdemeanor charge of soliciting prostitution, could have been a felony charge, but then...
Class B misdemeanor.
Okay, so I can't answer. I'm not over the jail.
All right, and Ken Good, you brought up the issue of the schedule, that which is like kind of like a menu that they offer magistrate judges to look at when someone walks in and says, if it's solicitation of a prostitute, if it's a trespass, if it's breaking into a car, you know, they use that to determine the bond. But we can look at the bonds that are posted online and see that there's a lot of leeway that these magistrate judges are using, that they're all not locked into a dollar amount per charge. They are looking at the individual and making adjustments.
Good. I mean, that tells you that Bexar County is providing individual magistration, which they're performing their judicial functions. I would like to, you know, the comment made by Ms. Moreno about mental health, you know, that's kind of the unspoken reality in Texas, is some of our biggest mental health facilities in the state are our jails. And, you know, the constitutional lawsuit waiting to be filed is, if someone's not been convicted of a crime, and why are we holding them in jail because of mental health issues? And as Ms. Moreno said, the reason why is there's nowhere else for them to go. But jail is for criminals, not for mental health patients. And the issues that we're talking about pale in comparison to the number of people in your county jail, and the Bexar County jail included, who are there solely because of mental health issues.
So, as you said, jail is for criminals, but if you are in pretrial detention because you can't make bail, that doesn't make you a criminal.
Well, okay, so you've been accused of a crime. The state has the ability to hold you until your trial. I mean, look at this guy who has been held for 2 years. Maybe we need more courts and more judges to get cases resolved more quickly. But you have to show up to answer the charges that have been filed against you. We keep talking about the poor homeless person, but most of these factors that we consider homelessness actually puts you in a bad light on whether you're going to show up for court, because you have less stability. The issue is, are you going to show up for court to answer the charges that have been filed against you so that the alleged victims can receive justice? And it's not just, oh, well, they're going to come, we should let everybody out of jail. I mean, we have thousands of, we have Bexar County's probably got 30, 40, 50,000 people arrested a year. That's almost 1,000 a week. If you have 40% not showing up, you can see very quickly your criminal justice system actually breaks down and falls apart. You got to get them to court to get them to get their cases resolved.
All right, and you said, I mean, no one is offering to let everyone out of jail, Ken Good. Mary Moreno, you're talking about keeping the people who are flight risk and people who are violent locked up, right?
Exactly. What we're saying is that money shouldn't be the deciding factor whether or not you're freed. If you're dangerous, you should be kept in jail. Like, we had a person in Harris County who was arrested for homicide, and they said $1 million bond, but he was able to get out, right? He had money, and then he killed again. So money, the ability to pay a high bond or ability to pay a low bond doesn't make you safer in the streets either, right? So if somebody's really dangerous, the Constitution allows the person to be kept in jail until their trial. Let's do that. But if somebody is not dangerous, they shouldn't be punished before their guilt has been determined.
All right. So we're going to continue our conversation as we take this break. We want to hear more from our listeners. What do you think about the cash bail system that we have here in Bexar County? Have you ever had to bail someone out of jail? Have you been bailed out? What was that process like? We want to hear your story. You can rename anonymous. You don't have to give your name, but we'd like to hear what your experiences were and if you thought it could be improved in a way. And if while you were in jail, did you lose your job? Did you lose your apartment? Did you lose your car? Some people say those circumstances actually make the community less safe. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The number to call in if you got a comment or observation, you got a story to tell us about cash bail system here in Bexar County, 210-614-8980. Matthew is on the line. Matthew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
How's it going?
Going great. Go ahead, sir.
I just want to say it's different in every city. So here in San Antonio, I actually had to get bonded out through a bail bond. And I have also been incarcerated in Austin, and I was able to get a PR bond, and I was able to get bonded out for $20. Now, in San Antonio, I had to go through the bail bonds, and it cost $300. Both experiences are horrible. They take forever. The process is super long. And it's true, though. If you have money, you are able to get bonded out. If you don't have any money, you're going to stay there until you come up with some sort of cash to pay your bond.
Matthew, do you mind telling us what you got popped for by the police?
In Austin, it was for DWI. In San Antonio, it was just a minor trespassing. I was at a skate park, and I was there after the skate park had closed, so it was trespassing there. And I had to serve, I was there for almost 24 hours just for something as minor as that.
So you went through booking?
I did, yeah. I went through everything. I went through the whole process.
So did you ever get into a pod? Or did you stay on a bench?
No, I was in a little pod for a long time.
Okay. All right, Matthew, thank you for the story. Appreciate that. So Mary Moreno, your reaction from the Texas Organizing Project.
Yeah, another thing that his story highlights is that even if you're able to scrape up the money, if the charges are later dismissed, that money that you paid the bail bondsman is gone, right? So you've already, even if you are not found guilty ultimately of a crime, you have been punished because that money is gone. We also think that part of the bail bonds experience is unfair.
They say you can beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride. That means when they take you down to the county jail and you go through that process and then you eventually get out, you learned a lesson that you never want to go through that again. So is that part of the judicial system, the ride? Ken Good with the Professional Bondsman of Texas Board of Directors.
You know, I was probably 50 years old when I was visiting somebody in jail as their attorney, and I don't do criminal law, but to hear them shut the door behind you and you're now in a county jail with your only way out is through somebody's pushing a button, it is very humbling. And I don't, there's a lot of things I'd wish on people I don't like, but I don't think that's one of them. I think you're not there because you're there because you're accused of a crime. And when we set bail, we're supposed to be considering four or five things. You know, Ms. Moreno says their goal is to get rid of private bail. So you will either be held or everybody will be released free, get out jail free card. And then we're relying upon you to show up. We've seen that experience, and it causes a 40% failure to appear rate. So just going to jail and getting booked in did not change these people. And we know that a 40% failure to appear rate causes the criminal justice system to shut down. That's not a happy medium. You know, a happy medium is where you can keep up with the new cases that have been filed, not that you get substantially behind every year, more further and further behind.
Let's go to another caller, and this is Abraham. Abraham, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. We had an experience with our son who has a mental disability, and we had to bail him out. Luckily, we had that option to bail him out, but I just wanted to say that it took a year for the trial to happen, and we were lucky that we had the bond option because we were able to put the money together, but I don't think it's the bail itself that makes him go to court. It's that they will go and get him again, and it's the law that is going to go find them. So, yeah, the bond is an option if you have the money to pay it or you can find it, but that's not what's going to make you go to the court. It's the judge sending somebody to get you. So, yeah, you have to pay. That's a good option. If you don't want to wait a year in jail or in detention. But, yeah, that's not the bond doesn't make you go to the court. It's the actual law.
All right, Abraham, thank you for that response. So my experience has been that if you have someone who is dealing with severe mental illness and they sometimes the best place for them, if you bail them out, they're not going to get unless you get them directly to a place that's going to give them treatment, they may not, that may not be the best option available to them. So earlier, Mary Moreno, you talked about an individual that you said was dealing with severe mental illness. He had been in the jail for almost 2 years and that he was not very coherent. Did you get that person to treatment right away or what happened to that person?
He had a space at a home when he came out. So that's where he was going right after the jail. He was going into a home that helps people with mental health problems. That's the thing about, you don't just let people out of jail. You also help them so that they receive the assistance they need. So like Jeremy Fierce, the gentleman you interviewed in your story, he needed housing. We helped him find housing. He needed a bus pass. What do they need so that they can have a chance of success and they will show up to court when it's their date? If you have a system that does not have the proper support, you will have a high failure rate. But if you have a system that really does want this to work, it will work, right? So you have to have the proper support system. So all that money that's being invested right now in keeping people in jail, if you invest that instead in a support system, you will have, people will be able to, you won't destroy lives, you won't destroy families, and you will get people back in court.
But there are systems in the jail. There are people who can provide the meds that some individuals need in order to stabilize so that they can be released and be able to try to get back. Since we don't have a system to try to help people, like, I guess, immediately kind of commit them and get them the treatment that they need, it falls to the jail, and the jail's having to rise to provide that service, Mary.
But it's much more expensive the way we do it right now.
Okay.
With a jail, right? So that's what we're saying. It's not just about divesting in jail. It's about investing in treatment. So it's really expensive. Like there's 60% of people in the Bexar County Jail are there pretrial, according to the sheriff. So that's a high percentage. That's more than, there's four, what, like the population at the Bexar County Jail is 4,000. So that's more than 2,000 people like who are waiting trial right now who are in jail.
Okay, let's go to, we got a call here. This is from Tilden Schaefer. He is the Republican candidate for Bexar County District Attorney. And so let's see, and this is going to be a part of the campaign. This is part of the discussion that we'll be having as we talk about who will be our next Bexar County District Attorney. And Mr. Schaefer, thanks for calling in, and do you want to weigh in?
Sure. Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be in your show again. And hello to everyone there. Yes, I would like to. So, as a candidate for district attorney, one of the things that we're talking about that Joe has brought up is the need for bail reform. And I guess my response is the kind of office that I would be putting together would be one where we're going to have highly trained and experienced prosecution, and they're going to use their discretion. The bond system that we have set up right now, as you guys have been discussing, is important to make sure that people show up to court. If we have a situation where we can ensure public safety and ensure that the individual will get back to court, then the bond can be revisited. And that's why we have attorneys on both sides of this. That's why we have judges. That's why we have this system in place that should bring these things up to the judge's attention.
So in the campaign, if someone asked you about the bond reform and your answer to that would be not exactly reform, but refining or what would your response be?
Well, my response is going to be that we're going to have a highly trained and professional office. So we're not going to be taking advantage of people, but we're also going to be safeguarding the public. We're going to make sure that the system is working efficiently without undue delays. So if you have to look at this on a case-by-case basis. I don't see the need to make these broad stroke reforms. I think that we have a system that you just have to have the right people in the right places. And that's, so I'm not going to sit here and say that there are people in jail that shouldn't be there, but I'm not going to say that we're just going to totally do and change this setup as well. We have an adversarial system. There should be advocates on for these individuals that can come and talk to the DA in that court, can talk to the judge. But, you know, the bail reform situation is really, really more appropriate for, you know, the Bexar County Bail Bond Board and for the judicial candidates, because it is, at the end of the day, it's the judge who's, and the magistrates who are setting the bails.
Sure, the magistrates work basically for the judges, and there's a lot of conversation about how they're going to conduct these mad court. But also, the district attorney is, you're the lawyer of the state and of the people in so many different ways, and you're some people will turn to for that. So in 30 seconds, you're willing to abdicate that role, or you're going to try to make the most of it?
I'm not abdicating the role, David. What I'm saying is that I don't believe that this is something that needs a major overhaul. That's my position. My position is that with proper training and the proper people in that office and the proper philosophy as a prosecutor, I'm going to trust my prosecutors to make the right decision. We're not...
Mr. Schaefer, we're running out of time here. I appreciate you calling in. You're not seeing the need for reform. The conversation continues after this break. Tune in. Stay tuned to The Source. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies, talking about the bail system that we have in Bexar County. Other counties in Texas, Dallas County, Harris County, they're seeing lawsuits challenging the constitutionality of the system. We don't have a lawsuit like that here in Bexar County yet. Some were expecting something like that to happen. We've also seen a press conference recently on the steps of the county jail with the Texas Organizing Project bailing some individuals out who couldn't afford it. What should we do here in Bexar County? We got to keep in mind the rights of the victims. We got to keep in mind the public safety. We also got to keep in mind that these people are not convicted of anything yet. So what reforms, what refinements need to happen in order to balance the system out? Or are you happy the way things are right now? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. So Donna K. McKinney, the presiding officer of the Bexar County Bail Bond Board and the Bexar County District Clerk's Office, District Clerk, give me some feedback.
Well, Ms. Moreno's right about the mental health. We wish we could treat everyone if they have mental health problems, but that she talks about taking the money it costs to keep them in jail and to treat them. But she said, find them a place to live, find them a job, give them a bus pass. I mean, there are not enough mental health beds in all of Bexar County for the people who have mental health problems to sleep in. So therefore, we must rely on the pretrial services questions, the magistrates who see them first. We might have some more hearings at shorter spaces, but I have to agree with Tilden Schaefer in that we do have an adversarial system, as poor or as good as it may be. We have a public defender's office that's been created in the county to help those misdemeanor clients with mental health cases, but also the rest of them, if they're poor, are getting court-appointed attorneys at no cost to them. And granted, it's less than ideal, but what are you going to do? I mean, there's not enough money for the taxpayers of Bexar County to take care of all the mental health by putting them in a home, giving them a bus pass, finding them a job, and getting them mental health, doctors, medical, and meds.
Right, so we're not enough money. We're paying for this.
We're paying for all of it, whether they're in jail or the mental health or the public defenders or the court-appointed attorneys. Taxpayers pay for all of it.
So we should be looking for efficiencies.
Well, efficiencies and public safety.
Yes.
And what's right. You know, I don't want any poor person to stay in jail for 2 years for not being able to pay $80. And, you know, the bondsman that I know of, sitting as chairman of the bail bond board, if you have to put down 10%, that's unusual nowadays. They take way less and they take payments. So, you know, it's it. They try and work with the guy if he's got a $80 bill to them, and he could get out and get a job. He could make payments to them, but they don't always have that option. This gentleman that she, Ms. Moreno, was talking about maybe was unemployable.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Tony is on the line. Tony, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I only have one question, and that is every now and then they have a roundup of folks that have warrants. How many warrants are actually out for folks that did not show up for court now under this system?
All right, Tony, thank you for the call. And Donna, do you know, Donna Kay?
The judge has an option to reset the case or to issue a warrant if the bond, if there's a bondsman on the case and the bondsman says, I've tried to get him or her, they've disappeared, I've called them, I went by their house, I went by their mother's house, I can't find them, they might issue a warrant. And it, but if the bondsman or someone else said they had a doctor's appointment, they couldn't be here, the judge will reset the case. So rarely do the sheriffs or the law enforcement go looking for them, except in this roundup instance that he's talking about. Mostly those are for city tickets when I hear it.
Yeah, traffic tickets.
Yeah.
That doesn't, that's not a misdemeanor like we're
not
talking about. You're not going to be ending up in this situation for unpaid traffic tickets.
No, absolutely not.
It may put you downtown and you're not leaving until you pay your tickets, but that's a different type, of deal. So, Ken Good, I know you're saying that the money is the factor that ties people to show up for their court date. How does that work?
Well, I think that's probably the biggest difference between us and the PR system or the the system that they want to change to.
So
is, you know, we keep talking about there's no money. We're the only one that costs nothing to the county or the taxpayers. The reason why we get them to come to court is because we get them with their family members in a, you know, a cocoon, and they all agree that they're going to follow the law. They'll show up. Family members will sign an indemnity agreement. And so when they don't show up, you know, the bondsman gets rewarded for going and getting them and bringing them back to court. PR system can't do that. A warrant's issued, it goes down to the warrants department currently, or the last time I checked, there's like 25,000 unserved warrants. So under the PR system, you have to commit another crime to get back into the system,
right?
Whereas the bondsman's out looking for you. Because we get rewarded by the system the quicker we bring you back into it.
So, Ken, I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to say PR system is a personal recognizance bond. So people who don't understand the jargon.
Yeah, and the last thing I would make, I was on a panel with the head of the PR system in Bexar County. And he had acknowledged that if someone has three charges, they'll post to them with a PR bond and they'll request that the lowest bond be a bondsman. So that if they fail to show up, then the PR department calls us and says, go find them.
Okay.
So what does that tell you about your own PR system? It tells you that they value us to go get their people and bring them back to court.
The people that I know that have worked as a personal recognizance counselors are people from the community, and they really understand what a lot of people are going through, and they try to help them out. But it comes down to what the magistrate judge is going to allow. But as you talk about the family coming around and surrounding themselves and cocooning around an individual and making sure that person shows up for court because they're the ones the county. So the call goes out to the family. You know, David got arrested again. We got to bail him out. And then everyone in the family comes together and they bail me out. And then I'm just basically hurting my entire family because of my bad actions. I mean, I've seen families really hurt because of one individual's, and they can't. It is a punitive action for the entire bunch of folk.
Well, I'm sorry that you still feel like it's punitive, because that's. I don't see that as punitive at all. You know, these are children who are lost children, and these, especially in these situations where they keep having recurring problems. And, you know, the problem that I foresee is when they come before the court, sometimes that's their last opportunity to be brought back to be a productive member of society. And if we're just going to tell them no harm, no foul, release them on a PR bond, there's no penalty, they lose that opportunity. And so I'm actually very proud of the current system, because we are the final chance these people have to come back and be productive members of society. And to hear people say, oh, we're just taking advantage of people and that blah, 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 that could not be further from the truth. We coddle them. We call them. We call them the night before a hearing. If they tell us they don't have a ride, we go get them. I mean, it's not just, oh, you paid us. Okay. I mean, we know what we're dealing with. We have vast experience in dealing with it, and we do a good job of getting people to court, and when we recognize they have issues, we address those as well.
Okay, so Mary Moreno's back with the Texas Organizing Project. So can you kind of address the concerns that Ken Good is bringing up here, that this is the grease that holds the judicial system together?
Exactly. We don't need that grease, right? So how you get people to show up to court after you've released them with no bail is exactly the steps he did. But now you're going to do it from inside the jail, right? So you have pretrial services that call people to remind them of their court date. People send texts. There are various things that pretrial services can do to assure that they have a high response rate to people getting to court. Most people don't want to have that hanging over their heads, right? They would rather deal with it and get it over with. And they're grateful that they were allowed to leave the jail without having to pay a bail and having to spend weeks, months in jail waiting trial. So it's been done before, and it can be done in Bexar County. But we have to look at best practices in Washington, D.C., in other jurisdictions where they've been doing this for a long time, and learn from them and see how can we build a better system that is really fair to people, that is just, that is not dependent on money, on being wealthy to have access to justice.
And Donna K. McKinney, the Bexar County District Clerk, you want to respond to that?
Washington, D.C. is not Texas. Bexar County is big. You can even hide in trees in the middle of a park, which is being very facetious. The pretrial system in Bexar County is pretty good, but to my knowledge, they don't call anybody before court and remind them to come. I'm checking. That sounds like a really good idea, but that calls for more people and more money, and possibly taking the money we spend on them in jail and getting more employees to be able to do that is a good idea. I think it's certainly something to be explored.
And so, Mary Moreno, do you think that by putting people in jail because they can't pay a bail makes this community more safe or less safe?
It doesn't make us any more safe. Like the people we bailed out on Thursday, most of them were there for possession of drugs. They had a small amount of drugs, and they were charged with Class B misdemeanors.
Okay.
And their bonds were low, but they couldn't afford them.
All right. I want to thank our guest, Donna K. McKinney, the Bexar County District Clerk, Ken Good, with the Texas Board of Directors for the Professional Bondsmen of Texas, and Mary Moreno with the Texas Organizing Project.
Thank you.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.